Welcome to Life's a Story, where real life meets the mic. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm joined by some amazing individuals for some candid conversations about the moments in life that shape us.
This is Andy. Whether it's navigating relationships, sharing personal triumphs, or dissecting the latest news, we're here to explore it all. Get ready for genuine, thought-provoking discussions.
Hey, it's Stephanie. We believe every story deserves a spotlight, and we're not holding anything back. So grab your favorite drink, settle in, and join us as we peel back the layers of real-life experiences, one conversation at a time.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dina. Let's dive into authentic, unfiltered stories that make life interesting.
I'm excited about what we have in store for you today, so let's go ahead and kick things off and get started. Well, welcome back to Life's a Story podcast. I'm your host, Greg Steinke, where real life
meets the mic.
Yeah, they both did it again. That's okay. That's all right. They sound the same, and I know many of you think that, and that's my wife, Dina, Andy, and Stephanie are with me today.
Hello, tonight. Everybody.
Hello. Hey, hey.
Along with Cora, Joe, and Caleb Foster.
I will say, I think my meet the mic was better.
What? I don't know about that.
I take Andy's side.
That's going to be a matter of opinion, I'm
don't
sure.
Don't skip episode two.
Well, we are with Caleb and Cora Joe, and the last two episodes were segregated, where Cora Joe got with the girls, and then Caleb was with myself and Andy, talking about really the emotional impact of infertility on the woman's side, and then also on the man's side, and with all that, the marriage impact, and how does that develop, what goes on there, the support that's outside of the marriage. There are many families that do not get that opportunity, and even as Andy had mentioned, a lot of marriages can really fall apart because of those things. And so we know it's by the grace of God that God had helped them through this. And what was amazing to me was what Caleb had said that that really struck a chord, because he said, you can verify this, okay, Joe Cordo?
Okay.
Before you all were married, mm-hmm. while up in college, you had even talked about adoption.
We did. We did. Actually, I was telling the girls about that in our episode of that was something that I always, you know, had in the back of my mind of, you know, if I could ever not have children, adoption was going to be my other option. So as I was, you know, looking for a husband, that was something on my radar of, you know, is he willing to adopt? Is he not?
Isn't so that amazing?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
So hold on here. You guys can't hear yourself?
I can't hear Cora Joe in my headphones at all.
You cannot just hear Cora Joe.
Technical difficulty during the episode. That's okay.
That's okay. That's real life.
It is. Yeah. Meets the mic.
Real life.
It
literally.
That in.
Meets the mic.
Stephanie's mic.
We'll figure this out here.
Okay.
Keep on talking, and I will figure this out.
So okay. I have something. I heard that you're an author.
I am.
What are the name of your titles, and where can we find your books at?
So they are on Amazon. The series is called Liberty's Agent Series.
Oh.
The first one is called Liberty's Assignment. That one is the first one to the series. The second one's called Jasper's Return.
Okay.
That's on there. We're working on the book 3, which hopefully will be in by summer or by the fall. Lord willing.
The third one, right?
Yes, sir. And then after that, the goal is to get at least 6 total for the series. But right now, wow. You know, one at a time. You don't want to just dive into a bunch of them and go crazy with it. So we're working on number 3 right now, and then hopefully number 4 will be next year.
Oh, wow. Now you're saying we. Who's included with you?
Oh, so
how's that work?
Excuse me. So I have my best friend's my editor. So she works with me alongside me, making sure that the storyline's going really, really well. And of course, the grammar, because I'm really, really bad with that. And different things like that. So I say we usually, they're really my books, but she helps me a lot with them. So I try to, you know, include her with it, because she's a big part of it
nice.
As well.
That's now, awesome. Where can everyone find your books at?
They're on Amazon.
All right. Well, check them out.
Yes.
Have to get on there and help them and the family. That's
yeah.
what that's all about,
yeah.
right?
Absolutely.
Because they have kids.
We do. We have teenagers.
So
have to buy groceries.
Oh, yeah.
You do have 2 of them now.
We do.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go back all the way We realized, or you realized, that natural children are not an option. Mm-hmm. You now are facing with the decision to move forward with adoption, mm-hmm. and that goes through an agency. And through that agency, they pair you up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you get to checkmark certain criteria?
We do.
Yeah, there's certain... They give you a list of what you're willing to, what you're looking for, basically.
So they it's called a, what was it called? It was a CCC, it was a child character, I can't remember what the last
name
was.
Yeah, it was CCC.
So yes. On that, it would have a list
like
of
ages,
groups of families. So we were approved up to 4 kids. Crazy, but yeah, we were grouped up to, up to 4 kids, and then like if they had developmental disabilities or if they had
to where you're able or you're willing to take them on.
Yes. So if they or if they were blind, if they were deaf, if they had a hearing or a speech impediment, if they would be bound to a wheelchair.
So very detailed.
Very detailed. Like everything of our lives and what we would want in their lives or what they were in their life. We would have to be very, very specific on, because there's such a vast majority of kids out there. Okay. So you could just say you were approved, you want this type of kid, and you have a bunch of these caseworkers saying, hey, would you consider mine? So that's, they have to be very, very specific on what you want and what you don't want. Mm.
And really what you can handle.
Correct. Yeah.
Even your environment would dictate.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
That as well.
Right. And like, so there was one time we were asked if we would consider 5. And for that, we were approved up to 4, but 5 was considered a large family. So we would have had to go through another home study and another process just to raise it up for one more kid.
Okay.
So, or if, I think if we raised the age up, we would have to go through another process to...
I think above 13, 14.
Right.
And I would assume different things, like even if you said that you would be okay having a child, like you mentioned, that was wheelchair bound.
Yes.
You guys would have to live in an appropriate housing.
Yes.
Right.
Correct,
that's
I would think. So they would
the
say, like, well, you live in an apartment on the 35th floor. Like, a wheelchair bound child is probably not going to be placed in your home at that point.
Right.
Now,
was
so something, they probably have restrictions.
Yeah, I was going to say, with something like that, do they help you find a home or a place to rent or whatever? Or are you on your own completely on that?
So with that, we were living in a parsonage at the time, and they will, when once you are approved and once you have the CCC done, then you'll have a caseworker come in.
What's
and
that
the
mean?
Home.
The CC.
The
That's
CC.
Child
is that,
characteristics where you kind of, what you can and cannot take care of.
Okay.
And when she says CCC, that would
Yeah, that's okay. what I meant. I'm sorry. So they would have to come in and inspect the home to make sure that would fit all the criteria for the CCC. And then also we had a fire chief have to come and do a fire inspection of the home to make sure that was all approved.
They look at finances.
They look at your finances. They look at your, like, his job status, if he's working, if he's faithful in his working. You have to have references of, I think we had 3 different people that we had asked to sign in papers and then mail them back in. Just
background
to say,
checks through the...
Yeah, we had to do background checks.
Sheriff's Department and everything.
And all that stuff. Yeah, it's intense.
Did they have a lot of references in, like, family or anything of that nature where they would call to verify who you
the information.
Are?
We did. We had to send... We sent in 3, I think.
Yeah,
that was the
3.
Requirement.
Outside
and
of family?
Outside of family, yes. So they were, like... I think the one was my violin student. One was our pastor at the time. And another one was a family who had adopted and who was helping us through our adoption.
Oh, that's right.
And so they were able to vouch for us and say, hey, yes, these people... They're on the up and up. They're really good people.
They're,
you know, this is what
normal.
They want to do.
I was going
to
say, I think they'll
we're
do
We're not
okay.
crazy.
a little strange. But
yeah.
We like to call that fun.
Yeah.
So are you assigned like a caseworker
we
that
were.
Helps you through
yeah.
all the steps? This is what you have to do first. And this is what you have to do next. And you turn that paperwork in. And
yes.
So you are
It
assigned.
Was about 6 months worth of paperwork.
Paperwork.
So is it mainly behind the scenes work as in caseworker gets a hold of another caseworker, or are you involved in the process too when it comes to that?
With all the paperwork, that was our job.
Okay.
So every agency is different. The agency that we went through, they were really good because they categorized all the paperwork. So like you would have one of about your background checks, and you couldn't move on until that section was done, which for me, that was really nice because paperwork is very overwhelming. And if you're doing all of this and giving out all your personal information, you know, that's kind of crazy. So, They would help me through each and every step of it. So we did the background checks, we did the house inspections, we did the CCCs, even the financial section. That one Caleb had to do because I'm really bad with numbers. Even the caseworker is just like, no, you need to let Caleb take care of this one. You just sit back on this one. So and then after that, we did have a caseworker. We actually went and met her before we started. I think it was the home study part, wasn't it? We had just finished the paperwork, and we went and visited her in person before
up in Northeast.
Yeah, in Medina.
Up in Medina.
Yeah. And then, so we met her, and then she gave us this is what we're going to do from here. So that was really helpful, and she just kind of helped us the whole entire way until the kids were in our house.
Now, for people listening out there, some of them hearing all that might be like, wow, that just sounds so expensive. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to get into it. Mm-hmm. Now, is it expensive? Do you get loans? Can you pre-qualify for stuff? Or do they help with that process?
Is there any assistance?
Yeah.
You put the money basically up front. So we did get a loan for the initial home study.
We did.
And everything else. Mm-hmm. And then after that, after everything was finalized, when you file taxes, you get adoption credits back.
Okay.
Is how it works.
And I'm sure every agency, every avenue has got different prices. I mean, we're not going to get into the prices, but there are options to where and really relief programs to where you do recoup some of that back.
Right.
And like some of the what they call the finalization, where the judge comes in and it's your final court hearing and everything, they change anything. The state took care of that finances for us. Okay. So that wasn't part of our finances.
Right. Okay.
So go ahead, baby.
I know one of our questions that we had was, I know you said you filled out paperwork. Mm-hmm. Were you what you were looking at as far as children that would fit your demographic, or I'm not sure if that's the right term. But what was adopting an infant part of that questionnaire, or is this, are we talking about
an infant was
something
on that.
It was different,
but the infant adoption was a whole separate process.
It was.
And we just couldn't afford the adoption of an infant because it would have been a longer process of getting that.
The home study was longer and the price was more than kids in foster care. Like the kids in foster care, they're trying to find them a home as fast as possible.
Wow.
With the infant ones, you can be matched with a mom before she has the baby, but then you're at risk of the mom changing her mind and saying, I want to keep this child. And then you're out, you know, all this time of waiting for this kid and it's not even going to happen.
Right.
So was fostering out of the question right away for you guys, or did you guys think about that too?
We did think about it. I think for us, because we were just at an emotional state of just wanting to have our own family.
Now, how many years are we into the process?
It was
from infertility, from when you knew that you weren't going to have children naturally to we're at this point of filling out paperwork. How much time?
I want to say it was like a year or two, maybe.
I said 2 to 3. I don't really know the timeline.
It wasn't. I think because we needed to go through that grieving process of, you know, not realizing that we're not going to have our own kids. And, you know, I was ready to adopt once the grieving process was done. But Caleb's always the sensible one. So I know, like, it's going to be God's timing when Caleb is ready for it. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of waiting for him and, you know, just willing to wait for him to say, yeah, we're ready for it. So, you know, that took a little bit, but I think that time was needed just to mentally prepare ourselves for the next step.
Now you say that, I'm sure you were kind of, I don't even know if embarrassed is the right word, but maybe depressed, but you were saying how you had to wait for Caleb to kind of wait. Did that make you angry towards him? What was like, what did that affect you guys? Or how did that affect you? Because I'm sure in a weird way, maybe embarrassed. You're very sad, I'm sure, mm-hmm. not having a biological child, finding that out. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're ready. You're ready to go. And you're being patient and all the right things towards Caleb.
Right.
But were you thinking, like, let's go, let's go?
So there was, it just, it depended on the day, if you want me to be honest with you. There was days that I was just like, okay, I'm ready to have kids. Can we just start now? And I think that's when my emotions were just hyped up, where somebody had made a comment and reminded me that I couldn't have my own kids or something. Not they were doing
trigger
it.
Points.
Yeah, trigger points. It was triggering. Mm. You know, it was those days I'm just like, can we just do it now? But the majority of the time it was just, I trust Caleb and I know that when it's time, he's going to be ready also.
Right.
So it kind of strengthened us as a couple because, you know, I'm relying and submitting to him and trusting that he's going to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. And then he's also being patient with me because when I'm especially impatient about it.
Right.
So, very impatient sometimes.
I was very impatient sometimes about it.
So like all the paperwork is completed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now you're waiting for a call,
yes.
A letter, pictures, opportunities.
So there are two different ways you could do it. You could, and we talked about in the last episode, was that you could ask, hey, is this kid, are they being looked at? Or they could look at your profile. Mm-hmm. There's both ways.
Yes.
So you could submit saying, hey, is this, you know, kid available to be able to adopt, to look at, and also on the other end, they would look at your profile.
Yeah.
It went both ways.
And match you that way.
Yes.
Right.
So ours was by the caseworker coming to us and saying, hey, would you consider these kids?
Yeah.
So with each kid that either we would inquire about or that they would send to us, they had a child profile page. Mm-hmm. And on that, it would be detailed of what the child went through, you know, if they had any health issues, if they had any mental issues, if they had behavioral issues. Some of them were extremely detailed, mm-hmm. to the point you didn't want to read them because, you know, kids are in foster care for a reason. It's not right. All hunky-dory and stuff.
A lot of them were pretty rough.
They were really rough.
We didn't. Some of them, you just got tired of reading.
You did.
Because it's so depressing, I'm sure.
It is.
That's probably pretty sad, though, isn't it?
It is.
Oh,
I mean, you're reading some of these children's profiles that have been given up.
Mm-hmm.
By their biological parents, mm-hmm. or even from another foster home,
right.
that can't seemingly find a place for them.
Right.
And that hurts. I'm sure it's really burdensome on you, to even say, I can't either.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard to say, we want, but we just can't handle it.
Right.
So I'm imagining.
And that's true. Like, you have to be really honest with yourself and say, I would not be the best fit for this child. I would not be able to give them what they
really
needed.
You're doing a disservice to that child by saying that you would take them.
Yeah. And so I'm imagining, like, I hear these dating sites, you swipe left or you swipe right. And, like, right you like, left you don't, or I don't know. But, like, is
never
that
been
kind
on one
of,
before?
You know? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just kidding.
That's
a discussion for another episode.
Let me ask my wife if she's been on one. I don't know.
Do you know what that means?
I don't know, Andy.
Well, okay.
I know, but
anyway,
though.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was
thinking,
too.
It's kind of like you're getting matched with.
So
yeah,
did you just scroll through
people? Like, you just scroll through,
stuff,
like, profiles? And
so with that, you could go to different counties. So we adopted in Ohio. You could go to the different counties and go to, like, the Job and Family Services. Mm-hmm. And some of them would have their children in foster care's profile on there. And so, you know, they would have the link to say, contact the caseworker. And then they would contact us and we would send it to our caseworker. So she took care of all of that. Or the other way was, the way we got our kids was, our caseworker would send our profile out to all these other caseworkers in the state of Ohio. She called it a blast. She did it once a month where she had our profile and all the other, you know, couples that she was in charge of. And she would send their profile out, and our profile had, you know, what we did as hobbies, what we did as jobs, how many kids we wanted, what was the oldest we wanted, what was the youngest we wanted, and different things like that. So, yeah.
And international children were not in your scope?
Scope of?
No, not really.
We wanted to go at least go United States before, because international, you get a whole separate laws.
That's a whole nother.
It's a whole nother spectrum.
Wow.
And what about, for instance, like, okay, what about your caseworker?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a time like, this caseworker, we just don't get along, or we're not, you know, just connecting, so I need to, you know, do you get a different caseworker, or once you have one, you have one?
Actually, with our caseworkers, all of them were we had good caseworkers. So the one that we had at our agency was really, really good. She helped us every step of the way, you know, no complaints about it.
But is that an option, I would assume?
I would assume it would be. Yes.
Jive with your caseworker. Right. You can get a different one.
I mean,
you know, personalities or whatever. Right. Yeah. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Or you didn't feel like that one was working on your behalf. You could request a different one.
Right.
You
probably could.
That's what I'm trying to get at, everybody.
So how long, did we talk about this? How long did you guys, I guess, look before you were matched with the children that you have now?
And I want to paint a picture real quick.
I want to.
Caleb said you guys were married. You've been married for 13 years,
mm-hmm.
and you've had your three children have been adopted by you guys for 5 years.
It'll be in March 18th, yes.
Okay. So, so what is the process for those first 8 years? How long did it take to find out you weren't able to when can we start this process, to...
Just quick recap on that.
Because
I think we kind of talked about that individually just a little bit.
Yeah, just to kind of...
So, I think we were married... We were married 1 year before we started trying to have our own. And then I think it was our fifth after we were married about 5 years before I went to a specialist and then found out I couldn't. So then after that, we waited, you know, that 2 or 3 years before we started. Is that math right?
it was like 1 or 2 years. And then
there was years in between. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 2, 3 years of getting all that stuff done.
Right, getting it all figured out. So the whole paperwork process, I think, took us maybe 6 months.
Yeah, paperwork was 6 months, and then the...
The home study took longer. That was another 6 months, I think.
So by the time you did your... Let's say you did all your stuff. Paperwork, case studies, all the things. You're all done. You're approved. Okay, ready to go. Until the time you were matched with the children that you have now.
About 6 months.
It's about 6 months, I think. So, yeah.
Is that pretty normal? That doesn't seem very long.
Well,
doesn't seem long at all.
Does it? It felt like forever during the time, though. Yeah.
The thing that we're feeling a little pressure because, like I said, the home study is only good for 18 months.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we did 6 months of paperwork. And they have to live with you for at least 6 months before they can legally become your kids. So that means you have 6 months to find someone before you have to re-up another home study.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you have to start the whole process over again?
No, it's not the whole process. You just have to, the caseworker has to come into your home and you have to do this. I think it was like 3 or 4 more home studies. And then you had to do a little bit more paperwork, just kind of to freshen up the paperwork that you had. Just to, you know, say, hey, he's still working, she's still doing this.
And nothing's changed.
Is there another fee on top of that?
Yes. There's more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not like, oh, okay, you can keep going. It's just another fee.
Okay. Yeah, and I have a question. I don't know if this is too delicate, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. Were any other children considered before God brought these children into your lives?
There was one.
Yeah, there was one.
It was a 13-year-old boy.
Yes.
And he wanted specifically a family that loved the Lord and didn't drink and didn't smoke and things like that. So we went. We were represented in that home study by our that match meeting by our caseworker, and we were overlooked. So, you know, there was another family that got him, which, you know, that still makes you happy because he still has a home, you know. So, and I think at that time we just, you know, we were a little hesitant about having a 13-year-old because I was still like in my middle 20s and stuff. So we were willing to if that's what God wanted, but, you know, if not, it was okay because we knew our kids were going to be out there no matter what.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. There was one. So
yeah,
okay.
But then these three came.
Yes.
To your attention.
Yes. So
yeah, we they brought us to their attention.
Yes.
Our caseworker, actually said, hey, here's a couple. And that's where the agency comes into play, mm-hmm. that they brought us to those kids and said, hey, here's a couple that might fit what they want for those kids.
Mm-hmm. She's okay. like our agent for us.
Yeah. So you read their profile.
We did.
And yeah. then what did you think about that? Wow.
Yeah. Honestly, our first thought was these seem like normal kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you obviously swiped right.
This is yeah. I mean, these were the most normal, I guess, profiles out of.
Right. Their situation wasn't as terrible as some of them we had seen. Mm-hmm. They didn't have as many issues as, like, the health issues and the mental health issues. They didn't have as many as all these other ones that we had mm-hmm. and things like that. And
they just fell into a bad situation.
They did. They just fell into a bad situation. So we told the caseworker, asked us, she's like, hey, they've contacted us after this blast. Would you consider being, you know, considered by them? And so we read their profiles and we're like, yeah, let's do this. And so then, you know, they had the match meeting. And yeah,
which normally there's match meeting. It's the child's caseworker mm-hmm. and then our caseworker.
The child doesn't know any of this is going on until after it's all finalized. So that way
there's no connection.
It doesn't mess with their emotions or anything like that.
Right. So usually there's three.
Mm-hmm. Three families.
Three families looking, you know, to get to for this child. Well, for this day, there was only two for some reason, mm-hmm. which God knew. Mm-hmm. And
I'm sure you put a lot of this into prayer.
A lot.
Very much.
There's three children. Let's just fall on our knees right now.
Yep.
Right.
And let's begin to pray both ways. If it's not, then Lord, bring us someone else.
Right.
Right.
And I know you're very submissive following the Lord in that. And so you got the information.
Mm-hmm.
You're about ready to meet them. Now, do you make the decision and then meet them, or do you meet them and then make the final decision?
So with that, they made the decision of choosing us, and then we have to think about it for a little bit, and then we went to go up.
Now, when you say they, not the
I'm
children.
I'm referring to the caseworkers.
Oh, the caseworkers of the children.
The caseworkers of the children, because the children have no clue what's going on, because they try to keep them, I don't want to say as uninvolved as possible, because it messes with their emotions.
They don't want to get their hopes up.
Yeah, they don't want to get their hopes up, because, you know, that's a terrible thing to do. So we went up and we met their caseworkers personally, and we went through all their paperwork more in detail of what was going through, you know, what had happened to them and what would, you know, what would be demanded of us and things like that. And then they gave us, I think it was, 24 hours to make a decision if we wanted to follow through with this or not.
But we pretty much said yes pretty quick.
And you prayed on this and everything like that.
Oh, definitely.
Oh,
so I am the least experienced when it comes to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I've only been saved for, May will be 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty famous for just kind of turning my back on God. And you guys, everyone in here is pretty, obviously faithful. But you two grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you find pain? Or were you like, why God me? Or did you have like those moments, even when you had this 24 hours, like you sat here earlier and said like you waited for Caleb to make the move. Now, were you starting to get cold feet in this 24 hours? Or did you get scared like, am I jumping in too soon?
Or did you ever have a time where you were like, angry with God? Like, why are you putting us through all this? Why are you? And I mean, I think you touched on that just slightly in our interview time together, where it was like you knew other couples who had been through some of those same things and ended up getting divorced because it can completely ruin a relationship.
It can.
Like, did you ever have a moment where you thought like, why us? Why are we having to go through this?
I feel like I've pretty sure we did maybe once or twice. I think especially during the times where we would have to read the kids' profiles, not our kids', but the kids before them, when they were really, really bad. Like there would be sometimes I would tell him, you need to eat before you read this paper, yeah, not afterwards, because that.
It was just sickening.
It was.
I mean, honestly, that was
sickening. It was in those times where you're just like, Lord, why? Mm, you know, yeah. why are these kids going through that? Even not just us, but why are these kids going through
this? The kids, yeah. You know, even though you can't take care of them, they're not fit for you.
Yeah.
But you still hurt for them because of right. their background.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm sure there was a time that we questioned it and stuff, even after we had our kids, that we did that. But God was always, you know, reassuring us, like, this was the right thing to do. This is, you know, he was leading us to do what we have done.
And like I said, we have peace through everything, really. Right. I mean, once we made the choice, hey, we're going to adopt, we're going to go through the paperwork, get everything done, we had peace that God was in control the whole time, so we didn't have to worry about, is this the right thing?
Right.
I don't think we ever really started to turn our back on God. Mm-hmm. We questioned, you know, we got frustrated, like I said earlier, like you and Mother's Day and all that stuff was yeah. rough days.
Yes, yeah. They were.
And
yeah.
So now these kids were not churched.
No.
Okay.
They have so been a little bit. That's about it.
All right. So you meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Your first emotions.
Oh, this is where the tissue box is. Yeah, what in the world are we doing?
I mean, here you are. Now, where did you meet them at?
So we met them the first time at a park. The caseworker had picked them up from the foster home, and she was the one that brought them. And I remember it, Caleb and I were sitting in the park, we were, you know, waiting for them, and I see her car pulling in, and then I see this little head, and it's my oldest one. She was barely peeking over the top of the window yet. And, you know, that was the first time I'd physically seen one of them. And I'm just like, I remember grabbing Caleb's arm. I'm like, we're really doing this. Like, oh my goodness, yeah, we're really doing this. They're really here. Scary. It was.
And how old was she?
I was going to say, what were the ages?
She was 11. The middle one was 7, and the youngest was 4.
Okay, you can continue with that, Dave. I have questions. But yeah.
So, you know, we played at the park with them that day. We know, it was kind of like, I guess, the feeling of bringing your baby home and having no clue what to do. Mm. That was like just, I guess, maybe the stage of being in the hospital and realizing there's a baby there. That was kind of like where we were at. But we were at a park with an 11, 7, 4-year-old, you know. So
now, did they come out of the car first then?
We were out of the car already. I don't remember.
They were kind of shocked.
I didn't know if you, you know, watched them come out of the car.
Oh, we did.
And then decide, like, and then maybe put it in reverse. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no. So,
because I think we even got them stuffed animal.
We did. We got them. We got the girls both stuffed animals. And our son, we got like a little Matchbox car. Like our youngest one, she still has the little stuffed animal. His name's Puppy. Puppy is just like her, that's her thing and stuff. And, you know, we played with them. I think Caleb was the favored one with the merry-go-round because he literally just sat there and spun it and spun it and spun it for them.
Yeah.
He became the popular one in the park because he would just stand there and spin this merry-go-round.
It was fun.
And we had a picnic with them and we went on a hike and things like that.
Now, was the caseworker there?
Oh. Yeah.
Jinx.
Wow. Both of them.
Yeah, so like, therefore, the first meeting, caseworker, and then like another counselor or something,
yeah, one of the
to,
other
just
counselors
to see how the
there.
Interaction was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I know
because nothing's finalized.
You talked about,
right,
like,
nothing's finalized.
How,
yet.
You know, if it's a good fit or not. Well, she was there to kind of watch, you know, see if they would, you know, work with us or, you know, I mean, just kind of see how the fit was.
Okay. Right. So you had your initial meeting.
We did.
With the kids. How many more meetings with the kids do you have before you have to say yes, or they say yes?
Well, we had said yes already.
Okay, so waiting for them to say yes. How many?
So I believe they came home with us for a weekend.
Right. Well, we went up. Oh, I think it was a couple weeks after we met the first time, and then it was just an activity, just the five of us.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Just you know, try that. To strengthen the bond, and then they came for a weekend, like you said.
Yeah.
And then I think we had to wait a couple weeks because the foster mom had promised them to go to camp, like a church camp.
That's right.
Before they moved out. And she's like, I have to keep this promise to them. Mm-hmm. And of course, we wanted to honor that because, you know, she was a good foster mom to them. And, you know, we're just like, you know what? Yeah, let them do that. We'll wait. And so then they they moved in with us, and it was just crazy.
So how long was that then from the park to the time they moved in?
A month and a half.
I was really? Thinking maybe 2 months.
2 months, yeah. Something like that.
But that's not being adopted. That's just moving in.
That's just moving in.
That's just moving in, yes.
Now, was there a talk? So you adopted three of them. They're all siblings.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get one yes, two yes, and then you get a no.
So
what happens then?
They don't make...
Do the kids get a say? Or is it just the caseworkers?
At that time, the caseworkers, like with the whole match meeting, the caseworkers were in charge of the care of the kids. So as the kid lived with us, the caseworker would come to visit once a month, and she would pull them aside and talk to them individually.
So that's when the kids get to say...
Yeah, that's when they get to say, I'm still comfortable here, I like it here.
I'm sure there's pointed questions that the caseworker would ask to figure all that out.
And we had
out.
No idea what
Definitely.
To ask them.
And then the little Amelia was what? We said four?
She was four.
So, you know, to get some good, solid answer from her. You know.
But that was never like where they felt like two of them feel good about this and one not.
It was always... positive. I've always felt
all of them.
Yeah,
felt like everything went well.
Yeah,
and I know you brought up, so I'm sure it can be easy to adjust a 4 year old
mm-hmm.
and possibly a 7 year old.
Mm-hmm.
But did you have with the coming up here with the 11 year old? You both come from a very heavy like church background,
mm-hmm. right?
Like always in the church, and I know you just mentioned that you went to a Bible camp.
Mm-hmm.
But you said they had very little other than that. Was it hard? Did you have to kind of tell them or tell the caseworker, like, we're very big every Wednesday, every Sunday is to the Lord?
Like, yeah, we're up front, you know, we're heavy in the church.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were up front with that.
And that's a big adjustment for the kids.
It was.
And I would assume probably in most adoption situations, the older the child...
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have more things to work through.
You do.
Right.
Just because they're older.
Right. You do. And like with our oldest one, she had been their caretaker, the youngest two's caretaker for a while before they got put into foster care. So she had the motherly mindset of that. And so, you know, you had to go through, you know, the gentle process of, you know, saying, hey, you can be a kid now. I got you. I can take care of it. Mm-hmm. Which I wasn't offended by it because I knew that's what she was and that's how she's built.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, she's a very motherly figure. She's going to be an amazing mom when she grows up. I have no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we just kind of geared it and nurtured it in a different way. So instead of saying, you know, you don't need to be a parent of your siblings anymore. You just, you know, you can save this because you're going to be really, really good at it one day instead.
That's good.
So no.
To be able to do that seems just amazing to me that you can look at that and see like those
positive.
Good qualities, I guess.
Right.
But I would think too, there was probably a lot of times where you dealt with certain situations mm-hmm. with them because they're all a little bit older
yeah.
and they're all, you know, obviously there's two girls, one boy
mm-hmm.
and dealing with all of those things. There was probably a lot of times where you thought, what am I doing?
Uh-huh. Oh, there was plenty of times.
What are we supposed to do with this?
Uh-huh.
They bring something up.
When they came in and started living with us, we went to bed. We look at each other. We think, what are we doing? We had no idea.
Yeah, what do you do? You know, when you are having children, typically you have them one at a time.
Right.
You grow into it, and you just got...
We dove in.
You did.
Head first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adjustment. And I just trying to adjust.
Yeah.
And I just had a question come to my head. Like, you were approved for up to four.
Yes.
Right.
Does that mean four siblings? Yes. Or does that... Okay, it's siblings, so it doesn't mean, like, I want this one.
No.
No, we were...
You have to keep it...
We were crazy. We were okay with having four kids.
So, for people out there, like, you're in love with this kid from this family and this kid from this family.
No.
You can't...
Do they always keep them together or try to?
They try their absolute best to. Like with ours, they push to keep them together. Like without one individual, one was not an option.
Mm-hmm.
So they pushed to keep them together. And we wanted a sibling group because we knew that we would want to keep the family together.
Right.
And if we were going to adopt, why not do all of them at the same time and then be done?
So can you do, like, One of my favorite movies growing up was Angels in the Outfield, uh-huh. for the ones out there. Two kids that are fostered, two boys, best friends, mm-hmm. and the head coach of the baseball team adopts the one kid and keeps it a secret for, I mean, in the movie, like 30 seconds.
Right.
And then he says, I'm also adopting you. Mm-hmm. Can you, for people out there, can they do that? Say they, I've never been into a foster home. I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. But say they've been together for 6 months, a year. Like they become best friends, brother and sister, brother and brother.
Right.
Can you have that option to adopt both?
I do not know.
I would assume you could.
Like if they came from different families but have been fostered together.
Yeah.
Right. I would assume you could. With us, because of the agency we went through and the program we went through, I think we had to stick with a family or a group. Or, I mean, as individual or a group, right? One at a mm-hmm. time, or the group, the whole three at a time. But I am sure, like, with other agencies and stuff, it would be possible.
That's probably more with the caseworkers than, like, hey, like, probably would pre-warn that person out there.
Right.
Who's thinking about doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, these two are very close. Like, do you mind seeing both mm-hmm. and seeing
even though they're
out.
From different families,
bring a suggestion,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were very thorough, like the caseworkers. Like with the first match meeting we had, we had to talk to the caseworkers before we were represented in that case meeting, and they were very detailed with all the questions. Like, are you going to be faithful in church like he wants? Do you smoke? Do you drink? And then she turns to me and she's like, "He's 13. You're 20 something." She's like, "How do you feel about having a kid half your age?" Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So the caseworkers are very detailed. So like with that situation, they would have covered that mm-hmm. or they would cover that and say, "Hey, would you consider this? This is something that they don't want to change in their lives."
Right.
So a lot of caseworkers are very thorough with what they do because they're caring for these kids and they want the absolute best for these kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you've been mom and dad for 5 years, mm-hmm. roughly.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the probably the common questions would be, when did they begin to call you mom and dad?
Well,
when did
our middle one, it, 2 weeks into it, was Mr. Mom and Mrs. Dad.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. We're combining.
Yes, so, combining.
But that's just the way he is.
We went from Mr. Caleb and Miss Cora to what our son would say, and then the girls, you know, what I think it was once they moved in with us. It was once they
3 weeks, a month.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. It wasn't long. It really wasn't.
How long were they in foster care?
Almost 3 years.
Oh, really?
So our youngest, I think, was 1 when she went into foster care.
Were they in the same home all that time then?
No, they were not.
Separate foster homes.
Well, they were all together.
They were all together, but just different foster homes.
I don't want to say some of them weren't foster homes, but like they had to move. They moved several different times.
Wow. Right. Okay. So when they came in that living with us, mm-hmm. you have to be able to adjust to all that stuff also.
There's a lot of, I'm not saying baggage that comes along, but there is. So we got that going on here. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
So I have another question that comes to mind is, it's almost a short-term relationship that you get to see each other every weekend. So mm-hmm. you're like starting like a relationship,
right?
But it's also kind of like a blind date because you bring them home. They're 4, 7, and 11.
Right.
And you start to see their everyday emotions, their everyday, like how they are.
Right.
Did you find yourself having a harder time, like for the ones out there, I know you guys love your children, obviously, but and for couples that are looking into this out there and the ones that I've already adopted mm-hmm. and are facing like something like this, but like how do you overcome or how is it that you love a 4-year-old, a 7-year-old, and 11-year-old? Like, did you find yourself harder to love one did you find them almost harder to accept you guys, like how did you
fear not being able to make that connection?
Yeah.
Like, did you ever think like, what if we get them in our home and we just don't?
Right. I think everybody has that feeling at least once in their relationship of having their kids.
I think that's why they they say that live in a house 6 months before.
Right.
Because you can really, at that point.
So they live with you for 6 months before the adoption?
About 8 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Before. Place.
And so during those 6 to 8 months, everybody has the opportunity to back out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they wanted to. We had
would it be more on the caseworker and your decision? Their decision based on the information from the kids.
Yes.
And your decision based on.
Right.
Yeah, it would have been us. And then, you know, she question the kids and see if they're fine, you know, see if they're still healthy mentally, if they're still healthy, if they're still comfortable with being this.
Do they still check on, like?
No, they don't. Once the adoption ceremony was done, I don't think we saw the caseworker one more time, and it was the kids' caseworker.
Okay.
So she came one more time, and I think it was just to say goodbye.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. No, I take that back. She came before our adoption.
Yeah, after the official adoption,
we were done. We didn't see any of the caseworkers anymore. After, you know, they were just kind of like, here, there's your kids. Have a good life. You know, and not in a bad way, but just like, you know, okay, my job is done. Right. You can take over and raise these kids now.
Now, how many times did you have to meet with, like, their foster mom to, like, hey, can you help?
We never actually had contact with the foster mom.
We had maybe a couple times, and that was to arrange when we went and picked them up and stuff like that. But she was one that was just kind of like, I'm here, I'm going to do my purpose, and then once they're out, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and we respected that because, you know, that was just her personality. And some foster parents will stay in contact with the kids, you know, and that's how they do it. But ours, she was just like, you know what? You be the parents, you know, take care of them. I've done my job and I'm ready to move on.
Are children, like, are they put through, like, physicals? Like, did you get, like, it sounds weird. Did you get a list of, like, allergies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Assessment.
Like when they were brought to us, mm-hmm. like said, would you take these kids? All that information was given to us.
Okay.
So
their medical background.
Yeah, medical background. All age.
It's in detail what they give us, and then it's in detail what they get from us.
Okay.
So now on the flip side, mm-hmm. you have the children.
Right.
They are in your home,
mm-hmm.
but they're still their life. With their other parents.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a conflict?
It depends, if you want me to be honest.
Is there still contact?
There is not contact right now.
Okay.
So that's something that we have told all of our kids is, you know, once you reach the age, there's a certain things we want you to do before you contact them. You want you to become an adult because we want them to be mentally and emotionally and spiritually stable.
And they're all
stable.
Well aware.
Yes.
Yes.
They're all well aware of that.
Those are some hard conversations.
Those are
really,
really hard conversations.
And I know, like, it's your story and everything like that, but, like, for advice, would you think it's best to tell the children as fast as you can, or?
It's really what they can take, how much information they can take at the same time. Because if you just overload them with everything.
Right.
They can't process everything
because they're trying to process. They're a little older,
right? They're just trying to process living with us,
right?
You know, new rules.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that could be a whole nother episode.
It could be,
you know, really just all the adjusting that you have to do, the kids have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, you have your rules, the way you want your house to run, but yet you've got to be sensitive to these kids and all their adjustments. So,
I mean, and Cora took on a lot of that role because I still had to go to work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'd go to work and come back home, and then
hear story after story.
Emotionally, you get phone calls at work.
I mean, emotionally, some days were all right. Other days were just... really, really tough.
Drained,
some days you think you got it, and then all of a sudden the next day is just chaos.
Well, I still feel that way.
Because it was kind of peeling back layers of onion.
Yeah.
I mean, you first meet them, and then everything's, you know, doing pretty well, and then they start to be themselves. You see who they really are.
Right.
And then you have to just kind of understand. You have to. You're going through it. You're going through it just like they are going through with us.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's not just one kid. It's three different ones. So you have three different kids that are trying to handle all of their emotions, and all the emotions are different, and all of their reactions of how this whole process is happening is mm-hmm. different. So you have that on top of that.
And then how do you deal with each kid?
And then how do you deal with each kid differently.
They're all individuals. Well,
yes. Right, because I guess when you raise kids, when you have your own, you learn who they are over time.
Right.
When you have three.
You kind of learn them, but you also create them.
Yeah. Right.
And what you're doing now is you're learning and then trying to either create, recreate, and recreate again.
Right.
Because every place they've been, they have probably adopted some of their own mannerisms.
Yeah.
Right.
Different roles at different places or whatever. And do you guys have like a support system within, like adopt other people that have adopted that you were able to go to for advice when you're kind of going through some of these hurdles?
There was a couple. There was a couple church who really helped us through it a lot. Who went actually through adoption?
Yeah, they were foster parents
because you really need that, because someone who has not adopted mm-hmm. wouldn't be able to understand wholeheartedly. You're raising your children in your methods or whatever.
Right.
Because you're started like kind of in the middle mm-hmm. where we start when they're teeny tiny and we just make mini us, you know, mm-hmm. raising our children. So I'm sure lots of people had lots of advice.
Oh, they did.
You know, but it's nice that you had somebody to go to that has gone through
that's
it also.
Been, that are in your shoes.
Yes. Exactly, yes.
Like you went to like group sessions or was that around?
We didn't necessarily go through group sessions. We had a lot of the Lord just kind of brought a lot of families along our way, even through the whole infertility part of it, of different people that had been through infertility. Mm-hmm. So they were able to help me through that part. And then there was a couple that helped both of us when we started the whole adoption process, because they had just adopted themselves and we're getting ready to adopt a second one. So we had different people that just kind of helped us along the way. And that's mm-hmm. something that both him and I have done now since that we've adopted.
We've just kind of
turned the tables and been able to help other people as well.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, do you think you might ever adopt again?
we had thought about it, but maybe... Because we had talked about it, you said, we want to make sure we take care of our kids now before we bring another aspect in.
Right.
So once we get older, we might foster, consider we might adopt.
Again. Right.
But we have to make sure we take care of the kids we have now, mm-hmm. get them.
Well, and that's neat that you said that, because I would think maybe later on when your kids are older.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you would think about fostering, you would just have a complete different understanding of what that takes.
Right.
Right.
And would probably be able to be great foster parents.
You learn to have a lot of patience.
A lot of patience.
A lot of patience.
I'm sure.
I was going to bring that up. So I think of like my childhood, and there was anger, and it took me a long time for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of resentment. Was there resentment then? I'm sure 4, 7, 11, a little younger, mm-hmm. but say there was an argument or they didn't agree with like adjusting to your lifestyle.
Right.
Would there be really bad explosive arguments where they would almost be like, you're not my mother or you're not my mother.
We hear that. We still hear that. So.
Okay. And I mean, whatever.
Probably doesn't cut to the heart as it did.
Kind of does, but like to the point now where I hear, I'm just like, really, you've pulled this line enough. You need to just be done with it. I said, try something new. To adjust to that. It was hard to adjust to it, though.
It's hard because you try to comfort them, help them out, but your job as a parent is also to train them and teach them.
Right.
So you got to discipline them, too. So you got to find that boundary of, you know, and we talked about the triggers beforehand. I mean, every now and then something will just pop up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And just out of the blue, and you see it, and I've learned to see it in just their eyes. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell, like there's a difference.
You've learned them over the last 5 years.
Right. And there's a difference between just outright, I don't want to listen to you, you know, normal kids. And then there's a, I can tell it in their eyes. It's just the way they act in their eyes. It's not them doing it outright just because. It's something else is
just going on.
Something else is their origin story coming out.
Right, dig a little
right. And that's what you have to be careful of, especially sometimes parenting them.
Yeah.
That it's an emotion behind it, and you just can't discipline and get on them
right.
because it. You have to help them be a caring at that point more than a listen to me type of person.
And I think it's obvious that God has given you the what you need mm-hmm. to be able to do what he's put in your path, where I could see, like, I just don't know that that is something I would be able to do.
Right.
You know, having the patience and all those things. So it's just really neat to see where God has equipped you to be able to love and adopt these kids.
Well, you're changing their origin story. Like,
basically.
Steph and I are big on that, like mm-hmm. changing the origin story for the bet. Like,
right.
So you're fighting that in them still. And as they get older, they'll be able to forgive and just see the thankfulness and how amazing you two are.
Right.
And
your kids have come a long way.
They have come a
they
big,
have,
long way.
Yeah.
A very long way.
We recently went somewhere, and one of the people who was in our lives beforehand, they said, it was I think, a couple years back,
mm-hmm.
and they see him now, and they said, those kids have completely changed.
How about that?
I mean, when they first introduced them to church, Idea Church, or you know, they're like, what's church? And
they were kind of excited right. about it at first. Yeah. Like, it was something new, something, you know, exciting. But, and they get to meet different people right, and things
but,
like that.
But that individual said they've come just a long
they
way.
Have.
Well, and that's just like Andy was, you know, pointing out is that, you know, when you think about it, God has allowed you to play this role in their lives that's going to take their lives into a completely different direction
right.
than what, they, than what they, it what could have been. Yeah.
Right.
You
right.
know,
and so that's an amazing thing that we're able to, and we look back and see God's story for us.
Right.
You know, we talked about, you know, adoption before, you know, I think we're dating.
I don't even think we were dating, if you want me to be honest with you.
I
think
remember.
We were just randomly asking each other questions. Yeah,
that.
Definitely that.
Because that's what you just randomly
know,
talk
right?
about adoption.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, let me have a brother and a Coke. By the way, do you feel like adopting children?
Pretty much. And just see how God can use that
right.
for his glory and his honor. I mean,
And I, you know, God, I think, has to put that in your heart.
He does.
He doesn't put that in everybody's heart to adopt.
And I think that's one thing, like with Andy asking about the whole forgiveness thing, that was something that I had to learn mm-hmm. was to forgive my kids. You know, I mean, granted, we do forgive people, but like when, you know, they're triggered and they're triggered and triggered and it just all attacks onto you. And it's not in a bad way. It's just that's how they're getting that anger, that triggering out. You know, I had to learn to forgive them with God's forgiveness, mm-hmm. not mine, because
right.
mine's
right.
not worth it anything. So, like, when they would be disciplined and stuff, you know, we couldn't discipline them the way Caleb and I were raised. So they would do laps in the parking lot because we lived in the church parsonage. And every time they were finished, we would do tallies of how many laps they had to do. And at the bottom of it, I would always put forgiven and loved. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter who was doing it. It didn't matter how many tally marks they had to do. You know, I always put forgiven and loved because I wanted them to know that they were forgiven and loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once we adopted them and we were able to discipline them the way, you know, had been raised, you know, after that, when it was all done, I would hug them and say, I still love you. You know, so they know that. And
right.
even now with, it was a couple weeks ago, one of them were in trouble and they had, you know, said some normal things that I don't want to say used to, but like they were triggered
right.
and they just kind of lash it all out. Not in a bad way. Just when you're triggered, you don't control the words that are coming out of your mouth.
It's different.
You know, I told him, I said, I forgive you. And he was just like, I still love you. And for him to say that, I'm just like, whoa, it
That's
worked,
good.
You know? Yeah. So you have to love with God's love.
Right.
You can't
because
just love it on your own.
You don't have the capacity
right.
to love.
You don't.
Well, the Lord has given both of you that type of a love
mm-hmm.
To take on this beautiful task. It really is. And you don't know what 10 years is going to bring down the road.
Right.
You may be raising a preacher boy that that would have never been if you weren't obedient to the Lord.
Right.
And you're still learning. Your parents through and through. There's all. You're never done being a parent.
Right.
Right.
From the very moment you start. And but the Lord has really blessed your family. We love your family.
And you know what thing I've learned tonight, like just knowing and hearing your story is, I think you should both just look at each other and just say how proud you are of each other
through all these.
Yeah. Like, good job.
Good job.
And I meant just proud, like what, again, I'm big on changing the origin story.
Right.
And just to think, sit here and think back to where those three children could have gone or what could have been.
Right.
And just to see, like, you two, how happy you are, and to see, like, how you guys can work through these problems with these kids who, with our daughters, like, we've had to work through these problems since they were born. Like so we're used to knowing what to do and learn by these steps with a 4, 7, 11, and then now... two teenagers and
16, 13, and 10.
17.
You're right. She just like had a birthday.
You're almost, you're being thrown into the wolves in a way.
Yeah. And I think it gives an appreciation, I think, when we're raising kids, or you just saying, talking about like us raising our own children, it gives me a whole new appreciation hearing the depths of your story that we haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Because it is, I mean, of course you would think, adoption is hard.
It is.
But all of the things that you go through emotionally yourself with the kids, and you think, like, gosh, parenting is really hard.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine parenting and raising and molding children that are not mine.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, as frustrated as I get sometimes, I think, you know, it just makes me think, like, there are other people going through all of these other things, the same emotions that I am. Times 10.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Of a child that's not biologically mine, and how you do that. And yeah, it's just.
I think for us, it's just, we're just both, Caleb and I were just, some days we're just asking, where's the manual for kids? Like, just for in general, yeah, how to raise kids. Where's the manual?
I said, it's not in, where's the, there's not manuals. It's not on page 327, you know?
And then other days, I'm just like, we're absolutely crazy for doing this, but I absolutely love it. Yeah. So it's just. Yeah. Yeah. Just God's gotten us through it all, and you know, we just,
well, you couldn't ask for a better life.
Couldn't have.
There's joy. Like I said before in the last one, all that kind of sorrow and sadness turned into blessings.
It does.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and all the adjustment and you know, learning how to deal with him, then learn how to deal with us. That it seems minuscule to amount of joy we have.
Right. Right. Well, and I would, when we first met you at our church, I was just going to say that if you wouldn't have told me your kids were adopted, I wouldn't have known.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, you just seemed like a perfect, well, I shouldn't say perfect family, but perfect. You know.
We're not perfect. Yeah.
You know, wouldn't have known. So,
Well, that is amazing. I know that.
We could go on and on.
We could, and we may have you back, just as you know,
a life
to go up.
You know, that's fine.
Talk about some of the other episodes or different things that you might have encountered. But if there are those out there that are listening and may inquire or need some guidance in
this, some questions,
email us at Life's a Story at 2024@gmail.com, and we will help you get in contact with
Core
Joe and Caleb.
Yeah.
To maybe help and give you some advice or maybe another step that you need to take.
Right, yeah, we'll do anything to help out any way we can.
Yeah.
So give us an email, and we would love to just to help you out in that. But, hey, this is the story, and you cannot leave God out of this story at all.
Nope.
And we are so grateful for that. But thanks for joining us on Life's a Story podcast. I'm your host, Greg Steinken, along with my wife, Dina, Andy, and Stephanie, and Cora Joe and Caleb.
And real quick. You should put where to find a link to our author's book over here.
And Amazon.
Yes.
You want to go to Amazon and give them the book's name?
It's Liberty's Agent Series. If they type in my name, Cora Jo Foster, both books will pop up right there.
Right there.
Yep.
You go ahead and you get them books of, you know, moving.
Yes. I
know.
I will.
She'll be happy about that. All right. Well, again.
Do we say goodbye?
Signing off.
Now you say everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us.